The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I heard you wanna chat with your girl, chat with your girl, chat with your girl, business and beauty, come and confess how you make your money and say yes to the gas.
Oh my gosh, y'all. Today we have, I would say, my biggest inspiration of the Patrick Starr brand ever. Like, literally, I am not joking. I've waited to, like, gush my love for this next individual. The one, the only, Roxy Andrews.
Hi. Oh, my God. What an introduction.
Ms. Thick and Juicy, bitch.
Yes, forever.
Oh, my God. What's up, mother?
Well, nothing, girl. Busy, busy, living life, happy to be alive in this crazy, crazy world. And nothing, just living day by day, doing things that I've always wanted to do, experiencing and living my life.
So if you guys do not know Roxy Andrews, you're living under a rock. Roxy Andrews is my biggest hometown, Orlando, Florida, world internationally known drag queen. Also known from RuPaul's Drag Race and All Stars. Obviously, favorite moment viral was when she pulled off her wig to whip my hair.
A wig under the wig.
Is there another wig under this wig today?
No, there is boy hair underneath this wig.
Well, you are known for the mug, the body, the reveals, and the epitome of DIY drag. I want to get into the fucking tea later of your thoughts on DIY drag versus, like, not DIY. You are such a success to me, and the podcast is called Say Yas to the Guest. YAS stands for You Are a Success. And so I want to invite amazing people, because everyone has, like, a different path and a different journey to their success. And you, my friend, are such a sickening queen. Like,
that's so sweet. And I'm so proud of you and everything that you do. But this is so much fun. That's why I was like, when they told me, I was like, oh my God, I'm totally doing it with her. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Bring me on.
You performed at my birthday. I had the OG Pulse Queens, girl.
You did. We still, I have the pictures up in my room. We still talk about that night and how good it was to, like, all be together and, like, to travel. Because, you know, you don't get to travel with the girls, like, necessarily, like Angelica Sanchez and Giselle and everybody together like that. You know, it's always
I wanted to give you a full on Patrick Starr production experience. I was like, you make sure they get in the car. You make sure you get them the hotel. You make sure you get their checks ready, like in the envelope. Get them the dressing room. Boom, 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 boom. And I wanted to live, like, my OG, like, gay fantasy of coming into any of the clubs in Orlando and just seeing y'all on stage. And I created that little itty bitty runway for you.
You did. You brought your old school girls that you saw, and you brought us to your new world, you know, mm-hmm. of what you are now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, and so delighted, because my first ever gay night, which was not a gay night, it was like Firestone, which had like a gay night, but that doesn't count. But my first ever gay club was Pulse Orlando, and the first queen to see was you. And you performed Kelly Clarkson's Since You've Been Gone in the OG from the Breakaway album. And it was so crazy at that time in terms of, like, my identity, because I was just coming out. Kelly Clarkson was, like, the first album that I had bought with my own money. I was too scared to, like, express myself and buy any other music. So Kelly Clarkson it was. And then I walk into the gay club, and I'm in the way back of that side room when there was a white room, bitch.
Back then.
What, if you all know, you know. And you were performing, and the da na 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 na, and then the iconic Roxy thigh,
the hip hat.
Yes, and you performed it, and I was like, oh my God, I had never seen a creature like as glam. And then I think that set it off for me. Like, since that point, aww. I was like, oh my God, there are people doing it. And obviously, I don't perform as a world drag queen, but I perform in makeup online and on YouTube for many years now. But thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. That was very, very sweet. Your story is one story out of all of the little people we had here in Orlando, you know, that we still do. That it's like, the thing that I love most about what I do is getting on stage and being that girl for those kids. And you never know who those kids are going to be. And look at your story. You're just one of many. And still being in Orlando, I love this city so much. And you love it too. You're always back. And, you know, hearing those stories of you were the first queen I saw. And this is, and they'll express the entire story to me. And now I do drag. And now, you know, because of you, I came out to my parents. And because of you, I know I was strong. It was like, you know, all the crap that happens behind this, because you deal with it too. It makes it everything worth it, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy because you are still giving the girls a show, because you've done drag for how many years now?
Oh my God. Since I was 21, I'm 38. So that's like 17 years.
Holy.
Yeah. I'm like,
so crazy. You're many pushing two decades, girl. Two decades, girl. So many of the same patterns just going around every week, girl.
Just keep going. And I'm still doing Kelly Clarkson.
So crazy. Well, I expect at least 2 8-counts of a hip pat before a toss.
Okay.
With the same cover up that y'all just borrow. It's just so funny. It's so amazing to see everything that you've done, because I saw a story the other day that you reposted, and it's from Aquaria. Like, what are the new news? What are the babies saying? Mother, queen, Roxy Andrews. And it's just like, she can just fucking fart on stage and people will just live. And you just like still got it. It's just,
you know what's so crazy? On today is Monday. On Saturday night, this girl came up to me and she's like, hey, oh my God, we take a picture. I'm from North Carolina or whatever. She's like, I love the show. She's like, it was so different than what everybody does at home. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And she's like, well, everybody at home is, you know, the splits and the kicks and the this and the that. And she's like, do you guys do that here? And I was, mind you, there were like 5 or 6 girls in the show. And I told her, I was like, yeah, we do that sometimes. I was like, but you have to understand, Florida drag is more than just that. There's different types of entertainment. And it's actually so hard, so much harder to captivate an audience and be standing in one spot than to come out kicking and splitting and twirling and turning the party, you know, like Kenny Davenport or Shangela or one of those. You know, I grew up watching Mimi Marks, Erica Andrews, where they were just a vision. So I, you know, that's my kind of drag. And I was expressing that to her and I was like, wait a minute, she doesn't even know these girls. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. I was like, well, thank you for coming to the show. Yeah, we do that sometimes. But drag is so different. And like you said, Aquaria is a baby. And a lot of the Drag Race girls that will come up and they're like, oh, she's the best drag queen in the world, or just talking because they know I do everything from head to toe and things like that. And it's just like, I never know how to take that compliment. I love it and I appreciate it. It's just, I've seen so much good drag. I don't know. So when they say things like that, it's just amazing to me.
I don't know if maybe subconsciously I have been inspired by you throughout the years. It's because my fucking turban has to stay balanced on my head. So I have nothing but to stand still, bitch, and serve. Yeah. And so whether it be on YouTube or in public, it's like, okay, where is my Roxy Andrews? I'm gonna wear my Bordellos. Okay. I'm gonna wear my Bordellos tonight, glue my earrings to the ears and just hit pat and step and repeat on the red carpet. So
baby, and you love a rhinestone as much as I do.
I'm walking the red carpet on Thursday. So I'm gonna try my best to channel and shout you out and channel my inner Roxy Andrews for House of Gucci this Thursday. So I'm so excited.
I live.
All right, y'all. Here's a message from our sponsor, The Inky List. All right, you guys. I want to talk about The Inky List. The Inky List is just so freaking good. They've launched 2 new products. And plus the new year, new skin, new me. I'm trying to work on me in totality when it comes to my health, because health is wealth. And that starts with my skin. If you guys know me, I have struggled with textured skin being on YouTube and being on camera for a very long time. And plus being a man and makeup really doesn't help. And what I found out over this past holiday, traveling back and forth from LA to Orlando, West Coast to East Coast, is that my skin has become so freaking dry, like the dry temperature and cold temperature on the West Coast, and then to the hot, humid weather in Florida, my skin just goes crazy. And then on top of that, wanting to be glam and shave, it's like a disaster for my skin. Even though I have like my most favorite razor and shaving cream, my skin still gets irritated, but I found the solution to really help my skin calm down. And the Inky List has launched two brand new products that has helped my skin and I know will help your skin. They're literally my obsessions. Their first product is their Hyaluronic Acid Cleanser, which is literally so good. If you guys don't know, hyaluronic acid is great for your skin. It just gives and quenches the thirst of your skin, but in cleanser form, which is absolutely genius. And their second product is their Omega Water Cream, which is a lightweight, hydrating moisturizer. When I tell you, for me, if when I shave and when I'm wearing makeup, even if you don't have facial hair like me, when you are wearing makeup and when you're going through these winter months and your skin is going through it, having a hydrating cleanser is the key to having flawless skin. And then on top of that, having something like the Omega Water Cream is lightweight, it's hydrating, and on top of that, your skin just feels so delicious and yummy. And whether you wear makeup or not, your skin is like your best makeup. And I literally have used these two products continuously over the holidays, which has been literally my lifesaver when it comes to traveling and also being flawless as best as I could be for the holiday season. So if you guys want fresh, hydrated, glowy complexion in 2022, this is for you. Head over to theinkylist.com and get your hydrating products right now. And remember, hydration is the key to reveal your healthiest skin. The Inky List, where knowledge is your most powerful ingredient.
I'm Arielle Lori, host of the Blonde Files podcast, where every Wednesday I cover all things wellness. After nearly dying from drugs and alcohol 6 years ago, I've been on a mission to live my best, most fulfilled life, and I'm sharing everything with you. From how to achieve optimal health, well-being, and fulfillment, to the best beauty tips and even cosmetic procedures, I cover it all with raw, candid conversations with experts and inspirational guests. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
I remember looking at you and growing up, and I remember going home and like YouTubing R-O-X-Y, R-O-X-X-Y, R-O-X-X-X-Y, Andrews. And then there was nothing but like maybe 5 videos. And girl, this is when you was plus, plus size, rocking the big hair, doing the hip pat, maybe like a lay down on the floor.
Okay. A little
and
moment.
Like pre-drag race. But then I stumbled across videos from your mother, Erica Andrews, mm-hmm. and came across. This was like, I think, pre-Continental. I remember you were missing for like some weeks because I was at Pulse like every fucking Wednesday, college night, 11 o'clock, Blue Long Island. And I was like, where is she? But I later found out you were a pageant queen and then you were in the pageant world. So do you think the combination of Erica and pageant and Continental shaped your drag to who Roxy Andrews is today?
Well, but when I started, like I said, 17 years ago, there wasn't a drag race. The highest platform and the highest money that you could make. I knew I would love to do this for a living. And the only way, and this is before you, the only way that you can make the good money in doing drag was to be a pageant girl and to have a national title. So when I started doing drag, it was like, you know, those $50 and $70 to $5 gigs. And no offense to anybody who gets that now daily, but the way to get the 150s, 175s, 250s was to be a national title holder. And that was the highest of the high in the pay rate, you know, and to travel the world, travel the country. That's why I went right into pageantry. And necessarily, I don't know. I don't know if it was like, if we could get paid like that without doing pageants. I don't know if I ever would have got into it. I love competition. I don't know. But I knew that that was the only way I was going to make the big bucks doing what I was doing. Nowadays, it's different. Nowadays, it's, you know, you could be, you know, an influencer. You could be on Instagram. You could do YouTubes. You could do Drag Race. You can sing on American Idol. You know, you can do a lot of things doing drag. There's much more platforms than just pageants.
Mm-hmm. I want to, very pageant said.
Yes, very, very pageant answer.
Very pageant answer said. But me being an Instagram beauty influencer and having a brand, it's all about the look. At any time I could think of any drag queen, it's always you. And I feel like for anyone that aspires to have it slayed and laid, whether it be their hair, their makeup, their outfit, their body, everything, it's like always rock, like, always. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if you're from Texas, Chicago, New York, I don't care. Roxy. It's always it. Like I'm so biased at this point. It's Roxy. Like, you have to have a look. So the thing is, what does it take to nail a look when it comes to drag? Like, you are the epitome of glamour and drag. So for baby queens out there, anyone aspiring, like, what was your way and what is a way to, like, learn about drag?
It comes from the inside first and foremost. Before you even put on the garment, you know, you have to sell it. And whatever's going to make you comfortable, whatever you feel like you are portraying, if you have a character in drag, go off of that. If you are a sexy girl when you're done up, you know, when you're in full makeup and a wig, I don't care how bad it is. Like, you just get this persona. And that's why I think people get, it's like euphoric. I feel like that's why so many people get into it and love it. And so many Halloween babies are made from, you know, because they get into it that one night and they're like, oh my God, I felt like a superstar. Everybody paid me attention and this and that. You know, it just goes off. It goes from the inside. And what's always made me confident, no matter what size I've ever been, is, you know, show a little leg. If you don't have it up top, show a little leg. Wear a little oversized shirt, you know, high slits on the sides. And, you know, your legs are your asset. Wear an oversized shirt and put it over your shoulder. You know, it's not always about being skin tight if you're a bigger girl. If you choose to wear something skin tight, you know, embrace it, live it. Don't let, you know, it's about confidence. That's how I feel when I do drag. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. I'll make something and just have my whole ass out, wear like a thong or a little something. And be like, girl, ain't nobody gonna tell me I'm not Tyra Banks walking down the fucking Victoria's Secret. Well, I'm sorry. Victoria's Secret runway. Like, it's just that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the sewing, like, your outfits are just insane. And I think watching you for many years, it's always something new, whether it's a stone or a strap or a torso or a leg or an arm. I was just always so mesmerized. And you're like literally the blueprint. Like, you're literally the pattern. So talk about these patterns. How did she learn? Like, where can queens learn, or where can they purchase the Roxy Andrews patterns?
Okay. I literally just started by not having someone to sew for me. So I just went over to Walmart, bought a little $89 sewing machine, and just taking like the costumes and things that I did have, or I would find at a thrift store or something, folding it in half, cutting it, and, you know, somehow making it fit on me, you know, to make it whatever I wanted it to be. And then going through YouTube and seeing videos, you know, how to make a swimsuit, how to make a leotard, how to make this, and taking measurements. I've never been one to actually cut out patterns. It's just all of my, people laugh at me when I sew. And I've been getting better with the measurements and making a pattern and things like that. But I just go. I don't know. I just know my body. Like, I can literally cut out a leotard in 15 minutes out of fabric and put it together, and it fits me like a glove. Like, it's weird. Like, I always thought my pattern is just in my head. I don't know. Yeah. But I love sewing. It was a way of cutting that cost in drag, because I wasn't making money like that. You know, I was just working little gigs here and there, talent shows here and there. And we couldn't always get somebody to sew, you know, have new garments. So you had to know how to go buy something and zhuzh it up, like Chevelle would say, zhuzh it up. That's how I learned how to sew. I'm self-taught, and it saves a lot of money, and you get really what you want out of things. And no one knew my body the way I knew my body. I knew what I wanted to cover, and I knew what I wanted to show.
So talk about like a week. So let's say, where do you perform now and what day? Like, what's the main night? Is it a Thursday?
Oh my God. I literally, this was my first week at home in 10 weeks.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, I've been on the road, which I'm so thankful, because after COVID, it was like, where is this drag thing going to go? You know, I know a lot of influencers went through that too. It was just like, the world was so crazy to me. So I just was like, okay, the bars are going to open back up. They've been closed for a year. How are they going to have money to bring in a high-end drag race girl, you know, to come to their bar when they have made money in a year and a half? So just to be back on the road is just absolutely amazing.
And then are you going to start gigging again in Orlando?
Whenever I'm in Orlando, I'm here Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays for College Night Thursdays. And then Fridays and Saturdays are our main weekend nights. We do shows in the theater with the Divas. And when I'm not home, I'm on the road. I'm always posting on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and out in cities, meeting my fans and, you know, living life.
You know, growing up in my 20s, I feel like you have literally shaped and shocked me all at the same time. And I really want to get into the Roxy Andrews gigs. Like, I need a day by day walkthrough. So you gig Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe tiptoe boy on a Sunday at the Parliament House, right? And then it's back to work on Monday. So do we catch, like, what? When is the hair done? When is the next outfit done? When is the stoning done? When is the mug and new makeup shopping done? Like, what's the routine? Is it hair on Mondays? Supply on John Young Parkway on Tuesday? Okay. I need to fucking know. Like if a queen wants to gig from like week to week, what is like the routine? You set the hair on Monday, roller, steam, boom. Like,
what is the gig? A lot of girls will prep, and myself included, like, If I'm home for the weekend, or even if I'm traveling, let's say Thursday to Sunday, I always put to traveling or working. So those are work days. But usually on those days are the days that I actually work on my drag. Like, I'll curl the hair, I'll straighten my...
For that same night.
For that same morning. So, yeah, because I've been doing it for so long. I have costumes already. And I sew very quick, like I told you. And I'll buy rhinestone material now where I don't have to stone it. So I'll just think of a thought Monday through Wednesday. I'll think of that thought like, oh my God, I just saw Adele on the cover of Vogue. I love this dress and it had big puffy sleeves. I said, I'm going to go to Joanne's. I'm going to get, you know, sewing studio. I'm going to get some fabric. I'm going to make it happen in my version of it. And that planning is all throughout the Monday through Wednesday. But come Thursday through Sunday, in the daytimes is when I'm getting it together, because I have two dogs. I have a boyfriend. Like, I can't, those days are very, you know, consumed with no drag. You know, my house, there's no drag anywhere except in my drag room. I call it the drag/sewing room. And then all of my drag is on racks in garment bags. So it's just like, I don't want drag to consume me. When I was younger, drag consumed my whole world. You know, it was too much. And you have to know how to just step away from it sometimes, take a breather, because that's when you can... your thoughts can stay like, they stay fresh. If I take a couple days off, it's like thinking of work 24/7 is never good. You need that day or two away from all of it. You know, no club, no nothing, just to let me watch some YouTube. Let me watch some old pageants. Let me watch some movies, get inspired and look for inspiration and different things.
Oh, that's tea. That's crazy. Cause I always thought, okay, she would go to the beauty, like, let me get Roxy at the beauty, so, like, wig world, you know, right off Kirkman, you know?
Right. I do the one-stop beauty supply. I love it. It's such a great store. And I love those. Like I said, since I've been doing it so long, I have, you know, those human wigs that I can cut up and recolor and do things like that, where rather than just running to the store. But that's why I love the holiday time and Halloween time, because it'd be like, or let's say Gaga comes out with a new video and she's got this red curly hair. I'm running to that store, One Stop Beauty Supply, to go find that hair that week. Like, that's the fun of drag, to be that creative.
Gag, because like, I remember Rihanna came out with like her like punk era Disturbia, and I blink and miss Roxy Andrews and the other girls have something from a Disturbia in the pixie of it all. It was coiffed to the front, catch Roxy next week, coiffed to the back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just so crazy.
That goes to what I just said, like, do some research throughout those couple days, like, put yourself on top of the game by doing that and be right on top of it, you know? And when you learn how to sew yourself, even if it's the basics, you can do that, you know? Cause you can just go run and get that material. You don't have to call your designer and say, hey, do you have an opening? Oh, a couple months down the road. And by then it's old, you know?
T. When I believe me and my friends, we would travel, let's say to like LA or any other city and watch a drag show. I was like, this is it. Like, no shade to other clubs, but I was just used to the blinding lights and then the fucking curtain on cue on the fucking first minute in, because y'all like to leave us hanging for a little bit, and then the curtain opens, maybe a leg, maybe a wrist, and then the curtain opens. But it's just so funny. It was like, wow, they're just like set the standard and in terms of like looks and glamour. And I feel whenever I go back for the holidays, I'm like, it's a fucking Orlando thing. I don't know why. I don't know if it's Disney, if it's a theme park or the pixie motherfucking dust up at the gigs.
We live and breathe drag over here. I mean, there's so many. I'm sure when you come, you're like, who's that? It's just, when you walk away and turn right back around, even traveling, like when I come back home, I'm like, there's another baby. Like, who's that? Oh, well, that's so-and-so. She's here for me. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and they're amazing. It's no more that era of learning how to do makeup is like gone. It's like they just know they're beautiful. They're stunning. Day five or six of them doing drag, they've got it together. They have this look. And I live for that because they're so invested.
How important is it for sisterhood while learning to accomplish drag?
Oh my God, sisterhood is absolutely important. You need those sisters to be and give you inspiration, let you know when you're, and I always say this, hang out with people that are going to tell you when you look the fool, when you did not, you know, when it's not right, because you always have those people at the club. And I tell these to the newcomer girls coming into the scene, everybody's going to tell you, bitch, you turned it, bitch. Yes, you worked it tonight. And I'm like, no, you have holes in your pantyhose. You don't need to be wearing that outfit. Like, you're wearing streetwear on the stage. Like, level it up. I understand you're starting. I understand the money's not there. Do some talent shows. Get some money for drag and you know, make it happen. Even if you have one good garment, wear it in all the clubs all that week. But it, you gotta set that standard to yourself. You're selling, you are your brand. And if you go around, if you was walking around all day long, no turban, jeans, like looking sloppy, no makeup, and you're an ambassador for a makeup, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you don't do that. So you're a brand. So anytime you step into the scene, make sure you look good.
So what's like an important lesson that you've learned from your sisterhood or from any queen? Like, what's something that has stuck with you until now?
Sisters will always be there for you. They, if you have the right one, you know, I've had a handful of sisters that, you know, gone and moved other places. And they used to live here, but then we'll make new ones with new girls. Right now, my circle of my sisters, we have a little group chat. So we'll get on Facebook Live or Facebook little messenger video, and we'll all get on there and just chat all day long. You need your sisters to be there for you and what you're, because they do the same thing you do. So no one understands it like they do. So when you're venting about work, when you're venting about traveling, when you're venting about hair, when you're venting about your costume, or gaining weight or losing weight, they know what it's like to be in the spotlight, those kind of things happening. Sisters are very important to be there for you when you're doing pageants, to be there for you when things happen. It's like best girlfriends.
I think because your experience now 17 years doing drag, I would assume it's kind of like symbolism for like an influencer having like a persona online and then also like a personal life, because you know, you like to flex and be that bitch online and show all the good things and this and that and kiki. But then you are somebody else when you log off, when your phone's off and this and that. How much would you say then versus now you were living as Roxy Andrews versus you and Michael now?
Yeah.
Because you have a boyfriend, you have dogs, like you have a life.
Yeah. And so when I first started drag, I looked like a drag. I always say this. I looked like a drag queen in and out of drag. I had like little hair of brows, could care less about my boy persona, you know? And then I was boohooing all the time because I didn't have a relationship and I didn't have, you know, the attention that I wanted from boys as a boy. But here I am, you know, and this is my own opinion and my own story. But I knew that I had to separate drag from Michael. You know, Michael's life, I needed to have a boy life and I needed to have a girl life, you know, in the bars. So I see it as Roxy is a uniform. Roxy is a persona. Roxy's my sugar mama. And Michael is the person. So I don't change in and out of drag who I am, but there is a clock in, you know. Mm. There is
more so now than then.
More so now than then. Yes, absolutely. But I would say then I used to do it more Roxy than Michael. Now it's more Michael than Roxy. Roxy's more just business. You know, like RuPaul always says, I don't show up in drag unless I'm getting a check. You know, like it's like that for me. Special occasions, continental, when I go watch the pageant, you know, when I'm with certain things, like if there's a girl doing a special night, I'll show up in drag and, oh girl, let's go kiki and, you know, go out tonight. Like tonight, we're probably going out to the Latin night over at Southern, just because I never do this kind of stuff. So I knew I was going to be here with you. I was like, let me get dolled up and, you know, go and step out and say hi to the kids, because they don't see. And then when I do that, they're like, what are you doing out? Are you performing? I'm like, no, I'm just kiki and I'm having a good time. And it means a lot to them to see me off the stage, but still Roxy. Yeah. So more so then than now, but I definitely, there is a difference. There is a difference. Because I'll be single, just wrapped in the drag. Girl, I'm obsessed with drag. Like, I'm always searching heels. I'm always searching wigs. I'm always searching fabrics. I'm doing another pageant because I just love competing and I love getting ready for it. But you've done a pageant, so you know. That was way in your back then.
I've done a pageant. Yes. Just one and a half. Yes.
Don't act over there, bitch. Don't act over there. No, but you know, did you have fun getting ready?
It was stressful. Yeah, it was stressful. It was crazy, like performing, but it's so crazy because, girl, give me a camera, nipples up. I am sickening, girl. The second I have to cinch and tiptoe, it's a whole nother motherfucking story. It's literally a step and repeat drag for me. It's very.
Really?
Yes, because as Patrick Starr, I feel like I'm a face queen and the hands and the posing and the beauty campaign. I did a commercial last week. And they wanted the whole regalia, the coat, the heel. Girl, my assistant was taking off my shoes on and off, on and off, on and off, like every 5 minutes. Cause I was like, I could never do drag. Like, I could never. Like here, I just surface. And I feel like that's why YouTube and beauty has been like my medium. Cause I can just give it and my voice and not really body all the time. So that's just, I think, my version of quick drag.
Girl,
so.
You don't make it look like that. That's it. I would have never guessed that.
Girl, the cameras are moving. I have 1, 2, 3. I have like 8 lights in front of me.
Yeah.
8 lights, 2 cameras, a desktop, like a mic. It's just like such a production. But what the girls see, it's kind of like my stage. They only see like a cropped version of what you guys see. So that's why I really appreciate drag because like down to the fucking piglets, like I know they're swollen. I know they're barking. I know they can't breathe. I know they're hungry. You know, so catch me at, you know, Southern Nights. You catch me in a high-waisted jean and a bodysuit and a full mug. Girl, the bank account is still the motherfucking same. Okay. I can dress whatever the hell, you know. So it's just kind of like my version, but that's why I really admire drag and appreciate it, but also the same, you know, if it's like out on the red carpet or like for work, like I'm Patrick Starr, you know, in regalia. So,
yeah.
Can you talk about like advice, like being, you know, 2 decades in drag almost, what it takes to find love as a queen?
Oh, okay. To find love. And it's so cheesy. You literally have, I would say it'd be a mix of what I just said about knowing that the boys that are willing to date. I always said this. I've dated many of queens, you know, other people who did drag. And the reason people are like, oh, that's kai-kaiing. Why would you date another queen? Blah, blah. I'm like, I couldn't say no to dating somebody that I thought was an attractive man because they did drag, because I want them to do the same for me. I want you to accept me as Michael and love me still when I'm Roxy. So how could I discriminate against somebody that I'd be attracted to as a male who just happens to do drag? So I always say it like that. Like, you have to have your boy life. You have to have your girl life. Now, as far as the work and the, you know, traveling and continuing to make them happy and, you know, it's give and take like any relationship. And like I said, that Monday through Wednesday, or even Sundays sometimes, because I don't work if I'm in town on Sundays. Like this Sunday, yesterday, we went to Lake Eola. We walked the dogs. We had a day. Like, I make sure that those days are devoted to a relationship and don't always make drag a priority because your life is more important. You know, there has to be an outside life besides just that, you know, business. Some people don't have the choice. You know, they're so involved in their career, you know, and there's different stages of your career. You know, I'm still a full-time book drag race girl at Top Dollar. Like, I'm still traveling, still going. I'm not sitting at home doing nothing, you know? So it is hard. And being gone those 10 weeks and a half, you know, 10 weekends in a row, I just came home and made sure that he was happy, you know, and constant communication of I'm here or no, I would not be cheating, you know, because people think that you're on the road. You're a star, you know, no pun intended, you're a star. And, you know, people do come on to you and in those DMs and things like that, but you can't get twisted. That instant gratification of, you know, hooking up that night cannot compare to a long-term relationship of what you have at home. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just a moment. Yeah.
It's probably fun when you're younger.
When you're younger and there's times, bitch, if you're single, get your complete life. But eventually, we all want that romance, you know, and that fairy tale. I'm a Disney fanatic. Like, I want that fairy tale. Yeah.
How important is it for you in terms of doing drag and also in terms of when looking for a relationship, is it for you to acknowledge that you have a boy persona? Because drag could be all over your Instagram page. Like, you know, if you're a young baby drag queen and it's just like, I want to rub your titties. It's like, baby, this breastplate comes off. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Because I remember whenever I started wearing my breastplate, like, and the wigs just to like gag the girls. For me, it was to inspire, like, yo, if I can look fish, so can you. Get your makeup, get your life.
Yeah.
But then it turned into something else in the DMs, like, what's up, mama?
What's up, mom?
Video. I said, you got it twisted, baby. So it was very much that. And I was like, okay, well, Patrick Store is here, but then there's Patrick over here. So. Okay. Like, that silicone on my skin, baby, is not going to last all night.
No.
You know? So how important is it to you to show, or for anyone to show their boy persona looking for a relationship?
It's very important. It just goes back to, you know, making yourself visible as both. You know, on my Instagram, you rarely... I don't think I've posted a picture of my boyfriend. And I don't ever do that because, one, he could care less about being on my Instagram. And you need to find somebody like that, too. Somebody that's not trying to be all up, you know, for the clout, you know. And that's point one. That's number one. You know, you can't be in it for the clout. I'm Roxy, but that she goes away. Just like you said, she gets put away and you got to deal with me in the mornings, noons and nights, you know. So you got to find somebody who's there for those specific things. And then number two, just staying true to yourself, girl. Stay true to yourself. Find somebody who deserves you. Mm-hmm. You know, find somebody who will deal with all your shit, but is lucky to have you. You know, you're a prize. Yeah.
I see. What's your rundown when you were dating and like interviewing guys, like you're Roxy Andrews, like I'm not trying to sugar mama no
if
bitch.
If within the first meeting you mentioned Drag Race, it's a no. If you're telling me my favorite thing about Drag Race with you was when you did that, no, it's just a no for me. If not, if you're interested, what'd you say?
It's happened before.
Oh all the time. And they'll, you know, like, and a lot of the other Drag Race girls, from just us comparing stories, there's so many times they'll take somebody home, you know, hook up like everybody does, and they can't get it up. And it's like, no, because they're so infatuated with who you were, but they're not sexually attracted to you, you know, when all the regalia came off, you know? So it's just about the hype of being with that celebrity. It's like, you could be so, you think that you're so attracted to someone, but it's just about you wanting to be able to say you're with them when it doesn't work, you know, they never get it done. But yeah, it's just, I've heard some crazy shit. You have no idea. Like,
I can't believe.
Crazy shit. But yeah, if you say anything within that first conversation about Drag Race, I just, my brain tells me that you're trying to be you're a fan, you know, you're a fan, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not going to pursue anything with a fan. And if I did, then you'd really have to overprove yourself, you know? Yeah, I'm a fan of you. Yeah, I appreciate your work. Like, if somebody walks up to me, like, look, I know you're Roxy, and this has happened too. I know you're Roxy. I appreciate you. I look up to you, you know, of what you do. I respect it. I also think that Michael's very attractive. I would love to get to know him. And if I could take you out, I would love that. I mean, I'm already like, where's your
number? Is that how it happened?
This one? Well, he... okay, it's been 2 years. I saw him at the Parliament House when it was still around. Rest in peace, Parliament House. And yeah, I saw him at Parliament House like twice. And I know everybody in Orlando. Like, if you're coming in, you're either freshly 18, which I cannot, and or you're from somewhere else or whatever. So I kept looking at him, and I would go on Sundays on purpose because he was always there. I hope he's not listening, because he's probably somewhere in the house listening. He was just cute. And I was like, oh, he's really cute, blah, blah, blah. And Darcelle would always announce me in the audience, and he would never pay kind of attention to it. So then one night, I looked him up and I wrote him, you know, and I was like, hey, it was really nice meeting you. And he said, you too, blah, blah. girl has never seen an episode of Drag Race, could less be bothered, like, about any of that. He never went out, like, and that was the initial spark. So we went on a date, and we just figured things out. And then, you know, in one of our first dates, I was like, look, I'm really interested in you. Do you want to, you know, start dating or whatnot? And he's like, well, I can't give you what you need. You know, I'm not where you are, like, successfully, you know? And I was like, look, I'm not looking for somebody who's where I'm at. I'm interested in you. I ask you to bring nothing but yourself, as I'm going to bring nothing but myself. And it just, ever since then, girl, it's just been 2 years later, my longest relationship ever. Here we are. Yeah. And wow. I would say, if I feel like it's not going to work, I cut it, because I'm only getting older. And if I don't see the wedding bells in the fence at any moment, or I feel like you're cheating or there's no trust, I will clip it. You know, it's no time. And there's so many people that stay in those relationships, like, thinking it'll get better. And it's like, no, you're missing opportunities by staying in it. But yeah.
Being a fantasy Disney fanatic girl, what does the wedding look like? Is it a two-part wedding with a Roxy Andrews regalia? And then is there, like, a boy in a tux white-on-white wedding? Because I know both. You're going to walk down the aisle in both, you know, Michael and Roxy. But which one comes first?
I have no idea. I just know.
I see you with the, you know, best thing I never had bun.
Okay.
The whipped, the croissant. Or maybe the coiffed pompadour on the top with the veil coming down. Or maybe a long 26, 28, 24,
weave,
or to the side for the reception. But knowing your bitch ass, like, there has to be the gown of gowns with the train, with the thing, with the fantasy. Because you wouldn't feel whole, would you? If you didn't have Roxy at the wedding, because that's not fair, because he's marrying both, right?
Right. And, you know, we all in our little gay boy world are just, especially as queens, we always, I envision my wedding in my mind to be the only, like, Walt Disney World wedding, like, white flowers, have Mickey and Minnie there, like, in front of the castle, the whole moment. If you ever watched Family Matters, when they did they visit Disney World, he proposed to her at the castle. I want that whole moment. He's so simple. Like, just like whatever you want, babe. Like, that I just don't know.
But who's going to come down the aisle?
I'm saying. I don't know.
If you did a tux on tux wedding, you would feel so bad. I feel.
You think?
I feel.
I don't think he would like the Roxy thing. He'd be like, I'm marrying Michael. What is this? Like,
I know, but Roxy needs her own. Roxy's reception. Roxy's reception.
Yeah.
Yeah, very that.
Yeah. There would have to be something Roxy.
I think maybe, like, babe, you know, since you're really simple, let's just kneel at the courthouse, but our reception.
Oh, no.
No?
No, hell no. Oh, hell to the no. Girl, I said the other day, the girls keep laughing at me in the dressing room. I'm like, I'm hiring Michael Bublé for my wedding. Like, I'm marrying that girl. Like, I want that wedding of my dream wedding. Now, of course, I see myself as Roxy, just done in the gown and the whole thing. Hair just little, what do they call it? The carnations in my little hair with rhinestones, just fish. But we don't know. Let's hope this works out. I'm gonna wait for another couple of years and we'll see. You'll definitely be there.
Oh my gosh. I think I'm producing it by okay. One Size. Like a part of it sponsored by One Size and Patrick Star Productions, like the road to Roxy's reception. Like something like that. You know, we can call WOW or whoever the fuck we want to pick. Maybe Disney Plus. We can call it first. Disney drag wet fantasy weddings. Like
down.
I see it now.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have, you know, I'm going to talk to my team tomorrow because we have a budget meeting.
Contact your people, we'll get it done.
So you got that, guys, Michael Bublé, horse and carriage, Roxy and Michael's wedding.
The glass slipper, the carnations, everything.
We'll have to budget an insurance for Tinkerbell to swoop down.
We know the Tinkerbells, girl. We'll get her. We'll do it for free. Well, she's sponsoring that flight.
Oh my gosh. Is there anything else that you are looking forward to conquer and learn when it comes to Roxy Andrews in your life, having done nearly two decades of drag?
There's a lot of things that I would love to do. Will I do them in my career? I hope. But it will definitely, there'll be a day where there's no more Roxy, where it's time to, you know, yes, I will succeed doing drag. I never say never. I will definitely never put her away forever. But the constant, you know, weekly thing and stuff, I'm definitely starting a business soon. And, you know, I want to venture that way because I feel like in drag, it gets a little repetitive, you know, gets a little repetitive with the hometown gig and stuff. No time soon, but eventually. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Moving on to the next step. You know,
so business, being a badass bitch.
Business, too. Being a badass bitch, sponsoring girls, you know, for pageants and that kind of stuff. Like, I'll make costumes and wigs for other girls, you know, as far as that'll be my little tick of drag. You know, I'd be like, girl, you know what? I'm going to make you a fierce outfit. And they'll be like, how much you want? I'd be like, no. I just want to make it. Like, I don't do drag
they
anymore.
They could only be so motherfuckers lucky to have any of your 10 fucking little fingers and toes touch them and be blessed.
Yeah, I will always, I think forever for the rest of my life, I will definitely be an avid promoter of drag, you know, I love it. I love it. And I'll never stop loving it, you know, and helping kids and little children's get up in it.
Any current favorites, favorite queens that you could say on the record, on the podcast?
Oh my God, I have so many.
Big or small, any.
I have so many favorite queens. Sasha Colby, they always ask me who I would love to see on Drag Race. And it's always these trans women that I know and I've loved and looked up to for so long. And I wish that they would open those doors. I know they're slowly but surely, you know, just to have those opportunities. Because of their talents, not because of the hoopla that comes with it, not because of the winning the money and traveling the world. It's because of their talent. If America could see and the world could see their talent, I want them to be able to experience that. Mm. But yeah, Sasha Colby stands out. A lot of Continental girls, the reigning, you know, Miss Continental, Juliana Rivera. There's a lot. There's too many to mention.
I love it. We have a segment called Doing the Most. It's rapid fire. There's 4 questions. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Doing the most, bitch. Who do you think Roxy Andrews is doing the most?
Wait.
Good or bad? It could be good.
Are we talking Drag Race or just any queen in general?
Anybody. Anybody.
Doing the most. Kaya Adonis.
Why? Why?
I said it because you know her. And because, you know, I'm just talking to one of my girlfriends. But if y'all look up Kaya, Kaya's always doing the most. Like, Kaya, sit down. She's going to kill me.
I'm dead. Miss Cosplay Queen.
Miss Cosplay Hot Glue Queen doing the most.
Oh, my God. Love her. Shout out to Kaya. What means the most to you?
My babies, my dogs.
When were you the most messy?
On Drag Race.
which time?
Season 5. I was messy, girl. I was, there'll be things that I would see and I wouldn't tell the girls. There's things y'all didn't even see on television. But
We saw it on TikTok recently.
What?
You're going viral because me and my producer, Dez, we were like, oh my gosh. Like, she said, oh, there's this thing that Roxy was talking about with Jada. And I was like, I saw that TikTok too. I think it's circulating online about the edit. I think so. Yeah, I think you were talking about telling Jinx, like, when was your favorite part of Drag Race? When you
were in the bottom two. Yeah, because they wanted drama. That just happened last weekend. And I did. Somebody sent me that. I can't believe, I don't know if it's going viral, but... Yeah, it was just me just talking about the show because it is that. It is very, you know, ladies, we're still filming a television show. And, you know, when it gets to the end, we get very stressed out and we don't really have a lot of time to talk, you know. And they still need to film a TV show. So
messy.
Messy.
Well, you're still here. You're still alive. You're still Roxy Andrews. What is the most expensive thing you have?
My shoe collection.
Really? Are you coming for Emile DeMarcos?
I'm obsessed. I just got...
Are you coming for Emile DeMarcos?
No. For the shoe collection. I just got the Versace platforms. I'm currently stretching them. There is a shoe stretcher sitting in my shoe because I always like them to be as comfortable as they can be. So I'm stretching them before I wear them. I've had them for a week now, but I just got them and I cannot wait to wear them. But I'm obsessed with red bottoms. I have a shoe collection that's to die for.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think there needs to be a shoe collection tour sometime.
Yes, I would live for that.
Oh my gosh. Lovely. Well, where can everyone find you and follow you?
Roxy Andrews on Instagram. It's ROXXY Andrews on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want to be my personal friend on Facebook, it's Roxy with one X Andrews. I don't have any space, but I always make some.
I know. I see the thousands of friends.
That's where all the tea goes down on that Facebook. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, everyone, please go and support this successful, amazing Glamazon Phoenix of drag, other known as Roxy Andrews. I love you. I'm such a fan and a stan, and I'm so proud of everything that you have done because you have paved the way for thousands, if not millions, of girls and boys looking up to you in this world of glamour, including myself. So thank you so much, Roxy.
And right back at you. Thank you. And you keep turning the party and doing what you're doing. So I'm so proud of you. Everybody is here in Orlando.
Yes, I'll see you at one of the nights this holiday season, a summer or spring.
Yeah,
I'm always back home. I'm always there, so I'll catch you there.
Mwah, love you.
Love you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Say Yes to the Guest. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow at Say Yes to the Guest on all social platforms. Remember, you are successful. Now go out and be the bad bitch you truly are. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Bye.